Okay, 7 o'clock, time to call to order the Town of Discovery Bay's regular community service district meeting. If I could get you all to rise and follow Director Graham in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Okay, this is the time for anyone, members of the public, that wishes to address the board. You'll be given 3 minutes. Are there any members of the public that wishes to speak up? No members online? Okay, that'll close public comments and we'll move forward to the consent calendar. Is there any items that need to be removed or discussed? If not, can I get a motion?
Move to pass the consent agenda.
I second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gattell?
Aye. Motion carries. Then we'll move forward to presentations. Veolia.
Good evening, board. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, good evening.
Today I'll be presenting the September monthly report for our water and wastewater system. Keeping our guys safe out there. We did have a couple of really, really interesting safety topics that month, road rage being one of those, and anger and stress management. So pretty good, pretty fun activities for the guys to get engaged about safety. And on the next slide, our water treatment plants are both active. All the water wells are all active. Well 5 does remain to be emergency backup use if needed. On the next slide, our production numbers for the water system is just over 3.5 million, 3.6 million. So we are starting to see that number slowly come down. And then our chemicals outside of sodium hypochlorite injection was 54.4. So we are starting to see that flow, and that's important for us because we have been waiting on our peak flow to end so that we can go back into our filter and rehab media. So, on the next slide, for our water compliance, total coliform samples collected for the water system were 16, zero positive, zero water quality complaints this month. We have not conducted fire hydrant flushing due to the drought issues. We're trying to be conservative. As the wetter weather we've seen might roll in a little bit more, we may start doing some flushing just to make sure that we've got everything cleaned out. So, like it should. And no valve exercising at this time. On the next slide, look at our wastewater plant. All 15 lift stations are active. Including the work that we were doing on the Station E, it is online, working with the new control panel. On the following slide, our wastewater treatment plant 1 is still offline, and wastewater treatment plant 2 is still holding the full load. We are at a total flow of 35.4 million gallons, and an average influent of 1.27, and effluent of 1.15. So we're still pretty stable on wastewater, and we are only, well, the polymer numbers have gone down. Reason being that only shows 200 as opposed to the previous months is remember that our belt press system is down right now. So because of the digest pond repair. So And the next slide, for wastewater compliance, one thing I want you to know is in the last presentation that a board member had asked to try to make it a little bit clearer on our legal limits, our maximum contaminant limits. So originally we had it in parentheses, and what we decided to do to try to make it a little better is to do a greater than or less than sign on that, so that I hope that helps.
That's, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's great, thank you.
So all of our numbers are in well within compliance, which is great for us, for our wastewater, great for our outfall. Our filtration removal rate is really, really good, 99%. The one thing that we are starting to get worried about is our conductivity. If you can see that number we're at, that is an annual average. So from basically October to September, right, we are at 2363. We're barely under that limit. This time last year, October, was a very high number. And if we can keep this October's number low enough, we will not bust that limit. However, if October is as high as it's been in the past, we are expecting to bust that limit. But what does that mean? Yes, it's an MCL. Yes, it's a permit requirement. It's not quite as volatile as like a coliform sample or something like that. It's basically the salt in the water that we're getting from influent. With the current system, the design, and all of our ability, we have a little impact on how much salt is coming through that we can actually remove. But it is important for you to know that's what's happening. And we are looking at ways that we could try to reduce that, but it's not something we can just go and change a pump or change a flow to mediate it. It takes some engineering, it takes some time. So,
Anthony, on that subject,
mm-hmm.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, mm-hmm. you're saying that there are months that are worse than other months?
That's correct.
Why would that be? If what we're saying is most of it is water softeners that we have that are grandfathered in or that have been in the area since especially on the old side of town,
so
why would it vary?
It's not varying much, but it's enough to change because that's a rolling average. It's not a like
one. Oh, that's right.
Thing.
Okay.
It just depends on those numbers over.
Yeah, but
the time
we're still you're talking 2420 or 24. 30,
you're
something like that.
About much movement.
Right, you're not talking about it jumping up to 3,000 or anything like that.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, thank you.
On maintenance, no SSOs and no customer complaints, so that is absolutely wonderful. One thing to note on odor complaints, we have not gotten any yet. However, Anderson has just started digging Station W. At plant one. We do anticipate having some odor complaints from client or residents that live close to the Cherry mm-hmm. Hill area, close to plant one. We are aware, we're trying to do everything we can, but that is an exposed hole. It's protected safely from somebody falling in, but there's limited control we have over those vapors until they get done.
Can't you hang a couple pine trees along the outs? You know, those little things you get?
I'll try.
Does that work?
I'll try. It may take a while to grow, but...
Yeah, good place for a stick-up. Yeah, that's right.
So we are sorry for that, but we are going to try to do our best to get that thing covered as soon as we can. So, on current projects, the denitrification is wide open. If you've ever wanted to see a hold of China... You might get the closest you can by coming and seeing it now. They've got the what's going to be the anoxic zone. It is wide open. They did start pouring the concrete Friday to parts of the new oxidage, so it's pretty exciting for us at least. So you guys will be like, I don't want to see that stuff. But it's exciting for us. So,
Anthony, when they put that D-Night ditch in front of Oxditch 1, that's right where the headworks are. Is it going to be offset towards your offices?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
There is not going to be a hole. You saw the size of that hole now.
Yeah.
Again,
made me think about it.
That hole isn't going to be the entire structure. That's a lot of work area, too. But that hole isn't that much smaller than that.
Well, but you still need to build, you need the area to build it, and the headworks you can't move, so.
That's right. So, yeah, they didn't, what the original design was, is to put it at directly in front. And then they figured out when we did the potholing earlier this year, we found that there's electrical lines and things like that that run that way, so they literally had to move it because you just don't have room.
Okay.
So, you're correct. One will be offset.
Two and three will be okay.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The emergency repairs and upgrade, so I mentioned that earlier on lift station E. We say it's still in progress as of September. The remaining work has been completed. We are working on, this is a water thing, on revised BSSP and revised total form rule. That has been updated and submitted to the state and approved by the state. Basically, what we're doing is making sure that we conduct our water samples for the system. We do them weekly. We're properly representing the entire town with those samples. We're not taking all of them at one corner of town, right? One of the other things that we're doing, too, is because California just adopted the new revised total coliform rule, we had to adjust that to make sure we're sampling adequately. So that gives us a chance to not only make sure we're representative of the system, but it also can improve how much we sample, when we sample. So we decided to invest in new sample stations, and those stations are not going to be placed in anyone's yard. The old stations will, as soon as we get the new ones in, will be totally removed, and you won't have a sample station sticking out of John and Jane Doe's house and things like that. Why does Frank always get their sample, their water sample, and not Jane down the road? Things like that. These new stations will be placed in town-owned properties where there's a meter, where there's a park, things like that, because fortunately for us, Discovery Bay has a park that's community-owned pretty much in every area of Discovery Bay that's a good representation for us. So we hope it'll be almost be a city beautification thing. It'll take some of those ugly old stations out of people's yards and stop some of those questions. At the same time, they're going to look a lot better and be the proper station we're supposed to sample from. So that's basically the BSSP.
How many possible homes are we talking about?
Right now, we counted, we went through the system and we counted about 20 stations. And we are only putting in 10. And that's 5 more than required by the state of California. However, we're putting an extra 5 in, it's because growth, things like that, expansion, you won't have to worry about adding the same stations for a while. And at the same time, if somebody runs one over, we won't be out of compliance because we didn't have enough stations to take. So, the other line item, the UV channel, we did have an issue with what seemed to be heavy corrosion on the oldest UV channel at the wastewater plant. It corroded and to the point where it was no longer feeding the proper voltage to the UV channel and shorted out the POC. We did get a contractor out pretty quickly on an emergency and brought that channel back online. Fortunately enough, it was something to do with, we think a rodent got in there and got under over the wire and just ate through the parts of the wire. So thankfully it didn't damage the PLC or anything like that, but because it's a UV system, it's critical to us. So if we don't disinfect that water before it gets the outfall, we can bust violation. So, Oxditch 3, Rotor 2, the shaft was actually rebuilt. A new shaft was made for the current rotor. When we pulled that rotor out, we figured out that it was made to where we could actually separate the shaft from the rotor housing itself, so we didn't have to buy all the new fans and all of that stuff. We didn't have to cart the old one from plant one, and we saved a ton of money doing that. So the longevity of this one should very well get us through the rest of getting Oxygen 4 online and things like that at a pretty cost. So that has been put back in place. It is sitting on Oxygen 3, ready to go there. Tomorrow they're going to start trying to put the housing back on. We'll test it. So hopefully we won't splash poo all over the place when we're trying to test it and get the covers on and back online. So that was a very good effort with Anderson's help, I should say. Oxtage 3, should that, the Oxtage 3 section is a part of Oxtage 3, rotor 2 of them are the same. And the digest pond light has been removed. The pond has been drained. We are waiting on the rental pump to come in Monday, and we're going to start trying to pump everything we can get out of the sludge out into the lagoon. Right now, it's a fair, from what we can see on the bank line, it's fairly even erosion all the way around the pond. There's a couple of spots where it's not so bad, but the spot that we were really worried about being up against electrical boxes, it was critical because it's up against electrical boxes. As far as extensive erosion to one side or the other, there doesn't seem to be signs of it, but it's something we do have a little bit of time with, so we want to, as soon as we get a draft, we want to meet with the town staff and make sure we make the right plan moving forward. And that is it for September's monthly report, unless y'all have any questions.
No, but I might have to come out and watch the rotor test, because that sounds interesting.
Come on, buddy.
I'm going to watch from afar.
I'll pay you to drop that thing when you're standing next to it, just so it's flat.
I will video. I'll leave the covers off when he comes on. No, thank you all.
Thank you, Anthony. Okay, moving forward, we'll go to F1 on business and acronyms.
Okay. At the October 6, 2021 Board of Directors meeting, legal counsel brought forward the amended law, AB 361, signed by Governor Newsom regarding open meetings, state and local agencies, teleconferences. The board agreed and directed legal to prepare a resolution allowing the board to use teleconferences as a method of to hold public meetings pursuant to Government Code 54953 and as amended by AB 361. Staff requests approval of resolution number 2021-18.
Motion to approve.
Go ahead. I'll make a motion to approve action item 1 as proposed.
A second?
I apologize.
Comment.
Let me open up to public comments. Would you like to speak on the subject, sir? Nope. Close public comments.
You can take a vote. At this time, you have the motion and second.
Yeah, perfect. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, moving forward, F2.
Okay. The resolution before you tonight allows the district to reimburse itself for monies expended for projects that are going to be paid for with bond proceeds. In 2019, the board approved a similar resolution for the reimbursement of bond proceeds for the wastewater denitrification process. Resolution 2021-17 is for the Water Enterprise Well 8 project. There is no fiscal impact for the adoption of this resolution. The attached resolution qualifies the town to issue tax-exempt debt for purposes of reimbursing project expenditures prior to the issuance of the bonds. Staff requests approval of resolution number 2021-17.
Any public comments? Then hearing that, I'll close public comments, bring back to the board for either clarifying questions or motion.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Thank you. Then we'll move forward to item F3.
Okay.
Dean again.
Yes. This policy is to establish guidelines on the use of social media sites by the town of Discovery Bay as kind of an additional means of conveying district information or promoting programming or some other events and things that we're doing in town. This policy also is intended to mitigate any associated risk from the use of social media technology where possible. Attached is the copy of the draft social media policy, which has been reviewed by district's legal team. Staff is requesting approval of the Town of Discovery Bay social media policy.
Open up to public comments. Hearing none, I'll close public comments, bring back to the board.
I make a motion that we approve the town, or the, excuse me, the district social media policy.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. All right, moving forward, we'll go to F4, and I believe it's Steve.
The town was approached by a realtor inquiring if he would be interested in selling a portion of unused land located at wastewater treatment plant number 1. The water wastewater manager, along with the district's wastewater manager, kind of drew a rough draft. It's on, we have attached a picture for your review of the property that we'd be willing to, you know, surplus. So staff is requesting board discussion amongst yourselves regarding the sale of this property and the possible approval to begin the process for disposing of the town's property at wastewater treatment plant number 1. So if you look at the picture, in between you can see where we'd like to keep, and you see that it kind of tees at the top. That T right there is a main line. That was something that, you know, I know wastewater manager kind of wanted to keep because it was a main line, but it's not something that we necessarily have to keep. We can do easement rights to go onto that property anytime we need to because it is a main line. The main line is a wastewater main line. Everything that comes, all waste that comes, it comes from Discovery Bay actually pulls into that main line and then goes over to wastewater treatment plant too. So just letting you know that. The top portion, or the left, right side, which is the bigger yellow area, we're not really using that. There's a lot of equipment that we no longer use. It's a lot of open space. There was the California UC Berkeley students used to do a program at the top of that, the corner triangle of that. They're no longer, I've never seen them out here in the 10 years I've been here. So that no longer is utilized in any way.
Do we still have an MOU with them?
I don't believe we do.
Okay.
I don't believe we do. And then the south portion, or the left side of the portion, is just part that we would be able to willing to give away. Some of that is our pond. It's our extra storage. So we would ask that they would probably build us, kind of, you know, build that up for us, and we'd keep the smaller storage pond for excess or emergencies.
Have they given any indication of how much property they're looking for?
No.
And whether or not it's a left side or right side, or just at this point we're saying this could be available to them?
That's correct. Yeah, I don't know anything other than they're interested in it, and then water, wastewater, and the district engineer kind of just looked at the property and kind of divvied up what we'd be willing to give up.
So we don't know what it would be used for.
I've heard some things of what it would possibly be used for. It's not housing, storages like boat storage, mm-hmm. RV storage, something like that. What we would like to do also is sell the road with it. We own the road, so we were thinking about possibly, you know, giving them the road and then they can maintain it and, you know, take care of it. I don't know. You know, I don't know who's going to be driving down that road, who's not, if they're going to let, you know, their clients or their customers drive down it, or they are. We don't really know anything at that point of what we're going to.
We own the road from the gate all the way to Highway 4?
I believe so, yeah.
Is that right, Aaron?
From what I can tell, yes.
The only facilities we would have over there, or what about the, okay, so the office buildings are all part of the area that's not available, the existing buildings?
That is correct.
Well, we would still need access to those buildings.
We would keep that piece, so whatever.
I know, but I'm talking about from the road standpoint. If we give up the entire road, mm-hmm. then it has to come along with some agreement to easement,
yes.
for our accessibility,
yes.
to it. And I believe the pavement stops just past the gate to our property, or the asphalt.
Correct.
So the rest of it's just gravel anyway. Well, as long as I'm talking, I guess I'll keep talking. I would like to see if, I don't have any problem with staff going, doing the research with regards to what values might be. I have a preference that, only what would be considered the top on our page or the large area be available. And because of the fact it does cut into our pond and we lose half of our storage, it may or may not be relevant. That's something Water Wastewater Committee can look at next time we have a meeting. We'd like to bring that to the committee to discuss the importance of that entire storage, and if it's even, you know, we'd like to get Veolia's input too as to whether or not we've been talking about ponds a lot lately, so let's not cut ourselves short on anything. And then the second part would be, so evaluate them as separate lots.
Okay.
And options maybe. So then the board has the flexibility of saying, mm-hmm. Well, no, we only want to offer this, or we want to offer that, or we want to offer both. But then that gives the board the flexibility to be able to make that determination after more discussion, which is what this is prompting with regards to what our needs are moving forward and whether or not that would cause any issue.
So you're just asking at this point to get an okay to move forward to maybe get some costs of what the land may potentially go for, and at that point, I mean, by us saying yes, it's not going to put us in a position where now we have to sell it and
no.
Okay.
In fact,
it's exploratory.
In
That's
fact,
all we want to do is explore the options that are,
In fact, my understanding is that what we're prompting here tonight does not even include the people that made the offer. This is just internal research. And then we can make a reasonable response to their request.
Okay. The only thing I would like to add is just, and I'm sure this went into Water Wastewater's thought process, just potentially with the Caccini development, could there be anything we're not thinking about?
Yeah, exactly.
So, just whatever, 10 years down the road, you know, would we be remiss if we sold it because
we need it?
We need it. So,
we'll explore that also. Initially, I would say that our intent, we've already expressed the intent to move the plants all to one location. We've
Correct.
Already, maybe the board's already voted to abandon plant one. The new Caccini property would come in, they would have to build new facilities. There's 2,900 homes or whatever, and commercial. We would want that built over at Plant 2 for the ease of maintenance and connectivity and keeping everything in one location. I did go over there today, and we have a lot of land over there. We have a lot of land over there. So I think that would be our intent, but it's a good point. We'll take a look at
well,
that.
Well, I just bring Caccini as one example. I just, you know, let's think about the stuff we're not thinking about potentially 10 years down the road.
Is there anything?
How much acreage are we talking about?
I'm sorry?
How much total land are we talking about?
I don't know.
Okay.
How much this is yet.
We'll
so
come back
we're
with that
to,
too.
Yes, yeah. We'll have to come back with that.
And I know it's asking you to look into a crystal ball, but is there anything that you think might be coming down from the state that, or the feds, that would, might require us to put in some sort of new facility or equipment that could take up a lot of space? Just things to think about.
Okay.
Is there any public comments? Hearing none. Is this a motionable item?
No. I think it's more guidance, isn't it?
So, yeah, I'd just like to add one more thing. Is that with regard to the property, just kind of maybe something that's kicking around in your heads right now is this is a first step in a process. So being that this is publicly owned land, that as a district, there'll be some processes that we'll have to go through. We'll work with and staff and legal work together. But all of these questions that you're asked are all going to go into the recommendation that's going to come back. As far as whether there's a motion or not, it's probably better to do a motion directing staff just to memorialize for the minutes. And so when we go back to look at this transaction, step by step, we can see what the board directed.
Okay. Well, with that, then I'll make a motion to approve staff moving forward with exploratory sale of property analysis.
Second.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gattell?
Aye. Awesome. Thank you. All right, moving forward to F5.
Okay. Assistant General Manager Davey, thank you for that, as he's been working on this project.
Got a red dot. Good evening, Board. Staff was tasked with looking into the potentiality of establishing a community-based emergency alert texting system to get the word out about perhaps some occurrence that is occurring in the town to warn our citizens. Staff went through with this process. The first thing to understand with texting, right now we currently have a system where you can opt in to select an email blast for various types of categories, one of them being safety alerts for the town. So we have a system in process. So the first thing we looked at is, does our current system allow for this text messaging system? And the answer is no. So what we would have to do is go through a third-party vendor in order to implement such a system. First of all, when we talk about emergency alerts, the state of California and Contra Costa County, they have the authority and the right to issue emergency messages and emergency orders. So this would be more along the lines of maybe notifying people of a water outage or something else that is affecting the town. And it would not be, hey, there's earthquake damage and this kind of stuff. That has to all be done by the county. The county's in charge of all of that through their OES system. So I looked at, staff looked into vendors, and they differ a little bit on how they provide the services. They're all similar with just little nuances. And basically how it works is the citizens would opt in by notifying us that they would like to be a part of this texting system. We, through the software, would then enter the citizen's information, much like an Excel spreadsheet. And that would include who they are, their telephone number, and this could be organized in a variety of different ways, including through different geographic regions throughout the town. Once that is established, we would then, if there was an alert that we would send out through this system, we would simply go into the vendor software, type it up, and send it to whoever signed up for this service. The way it works is you usually purchase a bucket of texts through the vendor. So if you one example is $99 a month, and that's 3,000, and that enables you to have a bucket of 3,000 texts. Now that's not 3,000 texts of us sending it. That's one text being sent to up to, or several texts being up to 3,000 recipients. And so that's your monthly bucket for that $99. And then for each recipient text that exceeds that bucket amount, this particular vendor that I looked into charges 3.3 cents under that bucket system. And they all pretty much work that way. And so right now we have a total of 807 people that have signed up for email blasts in a variety of different categories. And if we were to use this example of all 807 people signing up for text alerts, under this example of 3,000 in the bucket, obviously if you can, you could do three texts, send out three text alerts, and have it remain within the bucket. The fourth text would be in excess of 228 above the 3,000, so that would cost an additional $7.52. And of course, the fifth text would be an additional 807 units at an additional cost of $26.63. So your monthly total is about $133.15 under that kind of an example. We're not talking a lot of money here in terms of, but we are talking some labor and some time to do this. And we do already have a system in place through our email system. So this would just be an additional service. We did examine how many safety alerts we had issued monthly, and the most we ever sent in a month was 7, and they're typically 2, 0, 2, maybe 3.
What were those? What were the subject matters?
I don't know the exact subject matters, but it was had to do with, what was the category, safety?
There was breaking news.
Breaking news. So it could have been breaking news. It could. It may not have even been a safety alert. So
right.
We just looked at the monthly totals for that.
Wait, so, I'm sorry, Mike, we said it's 203, was it 2? You said 203?
Per month. Oh. Like 1 month was 0, 1 month was 2, okay, 1 month was 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
The most we ever did was 7 of those, and that could have been 7 breaking news.
That could have been about the pool. That could have been about anything.
Exactly. So what staff is looking for is, do you want us to proceed in establishing this system? And if so, then we would go a little deeper into exploring more vendors, and we would look for you to authorize the general manager to just go ahead and select a vendor that and a plan that seems most appropriate to the town.
So I have a question for everybody in the room. Does everybody in the room have a phone that gets texts?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody's phone that gets texts get email? Does anybody have a phone that gets texts that doesn't get email?
So
raise your hand.
No. So,
but, no, nobody. So if we're already sending emails out to devices that people have, and it's not a revolutionary device, why do we need to spend $1,200 a year being repetitive to 800 people that have have shown a desire to have some sort of a update? We don't even know if they're asking for updates on agendas or if they're asking for updates. We don't know how many of those 807 are actual safety requests.
Kevin, can I please give you a little history on how we talked about this?
Sure.
And there's different ways that people can sign up for this. Now, like, let me use PG&E for an example, and there's many other companies that you sign up for emergency alerts, and they all come through text. A lot of people may not log on to their email, maybe once every week, once every 2 weeks. With text, you're going to get it, boom, right then. It's going to come through on your phone. When we talked about this, we were especially interested because it can be done by zone. So we had a water break, I guess, when we were working on the hydrants, and that way it could go to those people to say there's a water break, you know, avoid such and such an area, and it could just go to that area. I would hope that if we do decide to go down this road, and I'm kind of jumping from here to here, that we do a very big campaign and include Lakeshore, the lakes, any and all areas to get more people to sign up than our 800 for this. And, you know, okay, we've never really had to use this before. Well, no, we never had COVID before. We never had pandemic before. We've never had, you know, who knows what's going to happen next week. And so that's how Michael and I were talking about it. And then Michael also brought up, and jump in, Michael, I'm probably going to say this wrong, but there's programs that you can use, stealing your phone, that you can sign up for. I want to get the alerts. My name is Carolyn Graham. Here's, you know, my cell phone number, and it automatically populates. Am I saying that right, Michael? Automatically,
yeah, so that's a vendor.
Populates the information, so we wouldn't have to take staff time to put in everyone's name and number.
That's not how I've heard it from the general manager, though.
Well, there's different ways that you can do it.
And they've only done brief. They haven't done a deep dive with any of the vendors.
Okay.
So one other point, if I could.
Yep.
I want to hop in after you.
Thank you. So typically, email is used for non-critical, texts are critical. That's how outside world works, right? When I have something that I want to know immediately, it's always text. If I have something that I want to know about it, but it's not critical, that's always email. So having a text alert system would allow power lines down, don't go down Discovery Bay Boulevard. That would immediately come to your phone. You wouldn't have to take the action of looking at your email while you're driving down the Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Yeah, I would
in
think
your convertible.
The sparks flying?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I would also say, like,
when it's raining.
I think in general we get a lot of comments about having better communication, communicating more. Maybe this is an opportunity for us to look at a broader audience. I'm one of those 807 that is on email. I never see the emails. They always go to like my promotions or something else like that. I see that email 5 days after it's been sent. I heavily rely on text messages to come to me if something emergency like that happens. You know, a lot of our community is a commuter community. They're commuting hours away. They have kids that are here. You know, I get a text message like that. I'm going to instantly shoot a text message to my kids saying, hey, be careful, watch what you're doing. So I think this is just another opportunity. $1,200 in the grand scheme of things, I think it's worth it to hit a broader community and crowd and offer better communication.
Especially with more homes being built in the area, you know, it kind of brings us up to...
Well, and I think our community's changing too from being a vacation type of community to where a lot of people have moved out here permanently. And
that's very true.
So, you know, something where it wouldn't have mattered to them a couple years ago definitely matters because they're here full time.
I would just like to see a different analysis of the cost, because right now it's 807, but we have 15,000 residents, so it could tend to be 15,000. So
you would, depending on the, so you can do plans with higher buckets of money. Of course, those buckets cost more money on a monthly basis. Usually they want an annual contract for the first year, but it's done on a monthly basis. So if we think we're going to be sending out 15,000 texts, you could probably buy a plan for a bucket of money for those 15,000 texts, and then you would pay a 2 or 3 cents or a cent and a half. It goes down, the higher, the bigger the bucket.
Sure, totally understand. I'm just saying at this point, this analysis is based on 800 people, residents who are currently using the email system.
Right.
We don't know what the population is going to be in the text system. It could be up to 15,000, so we should at least understand what potentially the worst case scenario.
Starting with a figure like 7,000, you know, or sign up for it. So
my suggestion would be, if we do this, you would actually start out with what seems reasonable. I'm sure that they would be more than willing to, on the annual basis, increase the amount of money they receive.
Of course.
It's going downwards that's the trouble. So I would start out slow, find out what the baseline is, and then go up from there. We can always increase the contract. I don't think that's
an issue.
And I also would like to know, since the quote that you have is not is labor intensive for the town, what the quote would be from the other ones you guys were talking about, where it you can sign up for it yourself and go into the system, and it puts you in the system without having it to be a manual input system.
Well, we're going to have to research that out and actually find that system, because I'm unaware of that system. So if it may exist, we're going to have to try to find it. And then we'll
get help you with that.
Thoughts on that.
But that's all part of what you're talking
about. I think
about
that would
here.
Be a big
time
difference on with regards to the maintenance of it. And, you know, people can opt in and opt out on their own without having to call the office, without having to, you know, send an email to the office, whatever. It's just that you opt in or opt out. And that's the way it is with PG&E. You get in there and you just opt in or opt out.
Well, maybe it will also help with staff time, too. I mean, I don't know how many phone calls you get about, like, hey, is this water line down or is this down? I mean, something goes out, people are getting it instantaneously and not calling in. Well,
we are talking about very rare cases.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay. We did have an incident recently where it probably would have been advantageous, but prior to that, let's just have a little bit, few more numbers, because I can't vote tonight on something that I don't have the facts on. Personally, you guys can. I can.
Well, let's go ahead and open to public comments and see if anyone has any comments.
Do I have to walk out?
Yep, please come up to the podium.
All right. Yeah, I'm Bill Weber, and I think that you don't need to over-engineer this thing. I think, as you said, you're going to try to get more people on it. So in your equation, when you're looking at this and you say it's not going to cost more than this, I think you need to do your due diligence, because if you're going to put more people on it, then the cost is obviously going to be more. I don't think you need to make it over-complex. I've been here for 20 years, so we don't need to make this over-engineered. Right now, everybody looks at text. You get text instantaneously. There are a ton of vendors out there. Thank you for doing the study on this. But I do this all the time in my job. You can actually use your email service that you currently do now and send text messages out. there are a ton of free or very low-cost vendors where it's sign up. You don't have to enter a spreadsheet or anything like that. The service that you're talking about where you can divide the town up into different zones, that can be done automatically when somebody signs up and puts their information in from geolocation. But it sounds like a great service, but you also have to decide, are we going to send out breaking news? Oh, there's an event over here, or is it going to be just emergency services? But I think if you do some more due diligence around this, you can go ahead and flesh this out. And it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. But it's a great service. But I think text is the way to go. If I send an email to my daughter, she's not going to read it until next June.
I'm with your daughter.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. And Bill makes a good point. I think that we should, before I would be ready to vote on pushing forward with this, I would like to see what policy is going to be behind that. And that'd probably be for the Communications Committee to develop the policy of what events are going to be, what this is going to be used for specifically, and start developing a policy for that. That does make some sense.
No, I was going to make a joke. Never mind.
It has to make sense. Come on, Evan. Okay.
So it sounds like we're just going to direct staff to come back with some more information.
I think that the Communications Committee has started this thing, ball rolling, and they can go ahead and push some of these ideas forward. And, you know, I don't know what the process is, but that's probably the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can discuss this at your next meeting again and put together.
No, I would agree.
Something like that.
Okay. Michael, you good with that?
Yeah, so I'm hearing that the board is open to hearing further discussion on a text SMS system before we put in the effort to flesh out policy and decide further investigation into different vendors.
I think it was in parallel.
I think this...
What I'm getting at is, so the board is open to...
Absolutely.
Okay.
I just stated my initial reaction. Mm-hmm. You guys made a lot of sense. Makes more sense to me now than it did when I first heard the proposal. And so I would encourage you to give us a little more information so it makes even greater sense. Does that make sense?
Okay, so... this is what I'm hearing, so correct me. Go back, look at a variety of other vendors and pricing and ways of doing this, and bring that back to and work with the Communications Committee. And from there, there'll be a recommendation, and that will come back to the board.
I think they're capable. We have
okay.
That's good.
We have confidence in their ability.
Very good. All right, that's clear.
Great. I don't know if I didn't mean that to sound arrogant. I'm sorry, but
okay. Well, then, if we got that resolved, we'll move on to F6.
Okay, F6. This is the long-awaited.
Excuse me, I haven't finished reading it yet. Can you give me another 3 days, please?
Well, I know that we've been keeping you apprised of the progress for the draft groundwater sustainability plan as we've been developing this. This actually started way back in 2015 when the legislature said that we need to protect our medium and high priority water basins. And you have to work together with those that are drawing from that basin and come up with a plan which essentially does two things, simply put. One is how do we recognize when something's going to be, looks like it's going towards being critically overdrafted. And then two, what are we going to do when we see this? What kind of things are we going to implement to protect our basin from being critically overdrafted? So that plan has been in the works. We have entered into memorandum of understandings with other agencies that draw on our basins, and we've all become groundwater sustainable agencies. And we've all entered into an MOU that says that we're going to work together to do this plan. Well, the plan has now become the final draft, and each GSA is bringing it back to their boards or their city council for approval. That way we can, once approved by all those bodies, then we submit it by the deadline of January to the Department of Water Resources. So what we are here tonight is asking that the board approve Resolution 2021-16 that, in a sense, approves and adopts the final groundwater sustainability plan for the East Contra Costa Subbasin, in which we have jurisdiction with others.
When we had this open for public comment, did we get much feedback?
There was public comment was always open, mm-hmm. and it's always been on our website, and we've always put email blasts out every time a new chapter draft was completed.
Nobody reads those emails.
And yes, we actually did get some. We did get some comments, as a matter of fact.
I'm just kidding. I'm being facetious.
We actually did get some comments, and those comments were considered, along with other GSAs actually having a comment as well. I will tell you where most of the comment concerns really didn't deal with Discovery Bay. Most of the comments that came through dealt with people that own their own wells that draw from our water basins. And then also, how are we protecting the disadvantaged communities? A lot of comments came in, are you considering climate change? Are you considering sea level rise? Are you considering the fact that we have gas and oil well drilling out here? And all of these things were factored in to producing this plan. So not only was comments sought through the websites of our individual GSAs, we also held three public video conferencing meetings where the public was invited to listen to a presentation and then make comments off of that presentation. And we did receive quite a few comments, and they were very much considered in the drafting of this plan.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mike, my understanding is this has been reviewed by our water engineers, and they have reviewed it and not made any negative recommendations.
Well, we have specifically asked for, well, so the good news is that the consultants that we've been working with since I've got here has been Ludorf and Scalmanini, as you well know. That is our water engineer, and they've been the ones and the experts that have been putting this plan together for us. But in addition to them, we also have an engineer that's assigned to us, and it was Justin, and now it's Jason, and they were tasked with, read this plan, read it from a technical point of view, and make sure that this doesn't invade or impede in the interests of Discovery Bay.
Great.
Okay, if there's no more clarifying questions, I'll open up to...
Well, just one more question. Have we heard of any of the other six agencies that we're involved with? Has this gone to their boards yet and been approved or not approved? Do we know?
Well, the plan just got approved Friday, and we're the first.
We're the first, okay. Just curious.
Okay, so, go ahead. No problem. If there's no other clarifying questions, I'll open up to public comment. Okay, hearing none, I'll close public comment, bring back to board for motion.
I move that the final draft be approved under Resolution 2021-16.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gateau?
Aye. All right, most curious. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, ooh, competitive grant. Is that Mr. Engelman?
Good evening. Well, I have several updates for you, but as far as the competitive grant, as of 7 p.m., we still have not heard. No one's heard.
You got to work on your lead-ins, Matt, because you're building us up.
You got it black and white right here.
So sad.
Some other updates in terms of the maintenance contract with the Corps. They're delayed a couple weeks because of another COVID outbreak, but they'll begin November 1st and hit three straight weeks at our parks and community center to get those up to shape. The median project, I don't know if you've gone by, but it's well underway. We're well on track with that.
I like the signs.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of input from the signs too in terms of, well, can you do something like this at some of the other island, so that was a good idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have an ETA completion time, or were you?
Well, I budgeted 3 weeks for demo and spent 2 weeks, and then a total of 6 weeks total. So we're doing pretty good right now. And then as a reminder, the pool synthetic turf bids are due Wednesday, and we'll be opening on Wednesday.
Just for anyone who might be listening, when you refer to the competitive grant, you're referring to
Clipper.
Yeah,
just so people do understand. At any point, are we going to work on the islands that are on some of the streets, like Discovery Point? So happens to be my street, South Point. Is that
so? At the next Park and Recs Committee, I'm going to bring up some design ideas. Nothing in drawn out or anything, but some visionary things about some of those other islands. Willow Lake, Discovery Point, some of those other stuff.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Bob.
Yep.
Okay, new website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so very exciting. We launched our new website. So Yesenia did a great job of getting that ready for us. And so it's gone live. So I hope you've all gotten to take a look at it. It is much easier to use from your mobile phone device.
Yes.
So that's a plus. And then we're going to keep changing things out and moving things and fixing it up. So it's very exciting.
Great job.
The next thing is I'm going to host a Meet the New GM. And so that is going to be November 4th. We're going to have it in the morning and in the evening. It'll be from 10 a.m. till, you know, the last person leaves. I'll have coffee and pastries. And then in the evening from 5 until the last person leaves. And again, I'll have some, you know, cookies or, you know, cupcakes or something like that. I will have my managers here as well. So they'll be, they'll have some things to present. So talk about some of the projects that they're working on. And we'll also have one of our office staff to maybe sign people up for Ion Water. So...
I'm sorry, when's that going to be?
November 4th.
And that'll be here? Or
it'll be at the community center, yep.
Awesome. The website is awesome.
Yeah,
big
I love the website. Easier to get around.
Okay, that's all I have for today.
Okay then, are there any direct reports?
I did attend the fire meeting. I turned in documents. The interesting thing is their very first item is the same as our very first item, and that was accepting and working with the amended AB 361, so all public agencies are doing the same thing we're doing.
Great. Are there any training reports? Correspondence? Mike, I did see that correspondence from the county. I don't know if you want to talk about that, or the letter from the...
Lieutenant Sheriff.
Yeah, from the Sheriff's Office. Is that meant to be talked about or not, Doctor?
Could briefly talk about that. The sheriff wrote a letter to Supervisor Burgess and to the Board of Supervisors expressing the sheriff's disappointment with the fact that he was essentially blown off and given, I think it was 6 minutes, to present and pitch and persuade the Measure X Advisory Committee to provide funding for various needs of the Sheriff's Department as a public safety entity, which Measure X was supposed to help with public safety. And so this letter was written. I was asked to distribute it to the board, which, as you know, I did. But for the public's information, the sheriff feels a little like dismissed by the whole thing and is not hopeful in this and feels that it is now I'm kind of going off script a little bit, but my sense is that he feels that the advisory committee is not being fair with the voters' intent.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, if there is any future agenda items. Nope. Then at 7:59 and 27 seconds, meeting adjourned.